If you would join me in our prayer for understanding of God's Word. Gracious God, your Word surprises, challenges, upsets, and overturns our way of seeing and thinking. Come and find us today, wherever we are, however we are, by the power of your Holy Spirit, because that which is withering in us to blossom, and that which is exacting in us to broaden, until we see as you see, and thereby glimpse the kingdom you are bringing. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I had a pastor that I was really close to that used to say he hated the sermon the Sunday after Thanksgiving because you can't should somebody into being thankful. And in fact, I was helping him with the reading, and he said, you can go on about as long as you want. I'm preaching really short this week. But that kind of leads, I love this story because you get to see both sides of this issue. It comes from Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 through 16. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into the vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, you also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right. So they went. When he went out again about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others still standing around, and he said to them, why are you standing here idle all day? They said to him, because no one has hired us. He said to them, you also go into the vineyard. When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first. When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, these last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat. But he replied to one of them, saying, friend, I am doing no wrong. Did you not agree to work with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous? So the last will be first, and the first will be last. The word of God for the people of God.
Thank our brother in Christ for sharing those words of truth that can be trusted, except for saying that there was a preacher that didn't preach that long. So other than that, I'm not sure what I feel about that, but nonetheless, join with me in prayer. We thank you, Lord, for how you are at work. And sometimes that's difficult to embrace or understand. But you are at work. You're at work in us. Keep our hearts open to you speaking into them. And it's in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen. There is a particular posture that I want to model right now. And I want you to think about what it communicates whenever you see it. Okay? What's that communicate to you whenever you got the crossed arms and you're kind of looking sideways at somebody and you kind of take a little bit of step back like, yeah, I want to take in this whole mess right now. You're not particularly open to hearing what's coming, are you? And have you ever done that and you kind of crossed your arms and the person who's talking to you realizes, well, I might as well just stop right now because nothing's getting through. I know, it's almost like having a wall up. It's almost like having a plexiglass shield. It's tempting and very easy to have that approach whenever we hear these words today, isn't it? Hey, maybe it's even easier to just shout out what I said to our friends earlier, my younger friends. And if you need to go ahead and get it out of your system, go ahead and do it right now. Go ahead and just shout it out. That's not fair! Okay, you get it out of there. You get it out. Okay? Kind of get loosened up. Now say to somebody, God loves you. And I'm trying. Okay, get that out of your system. Just get that out of your system right now. You know, there are passages where Jesus truly does challenge us. And certainly we understand Jesus is who we think about whenever we think about unyielding love, unending grace, power, God speaking into our lives, reminding us that we belong to Him, God's always at work. But there are also passages that are going to stretch us and take us out of our comfort zone. This is one of them, no question about it. In this particular passage, Jesus is telling a story. And as we look at the previous scripture passages, we need to understand that he's been building up to this. Okay? Jesus previously blesses children. Now that's one of those passages where we can go, oh, I like that one. That's a good one. And then he answers a rich man's question. Okay, Jesus, you're making me a little bit more uncomfortable now. Where's that Jesus that's hugging everybody? Come on, I want that Jesus again. And he answers the rich man's question by saying that, you know, don't pat yourself on the back too much. You're going to pull your arm out of joint if you do. Then he continues by teaching about giving up things. All of which brings us to this particular passage right now. Kind of, we understand that Jesus has been building up to this more, don't we? Whenever we look at the scripture passages that have been preceding it. Right after this, in fact, right after this very passage, you know what Jesus talks about? He says, not only are you going to be challenged as one of my disciples, but he starts talking about his death and then his resurrection. So Jesus himself understands the challenges of this whole new way of living that God is bringing. And it is called kingdom living. Think about that. Right at the very beginning. For the kingdom of heaven is like. Any time in scripture passage where Jesus says that, for the kingdom of heaven is like, he's going like this. Hello? Hey, this is something to pay attention to. This is going to be on the test. That's what he's saying. He's trying to get our attention. He's trying to bring us in. The kingdom of heaven is like. Oh, okay. Hey, guys, we've got to pay attention. The rabbi's talking again. Something important. And he continues. This is something that challenges us. And this is something that reminds us that in kingdom living, there is no room for pride. There's no room for saying, well, yeah, we're all God's children, but he likes me best. Now be honest. You don't have to raise your hand. But have you ever thought that? Boy, I really am holy. Yeah, I really am doing God's work. Well, I did a great job there. God loves all of his kids, but he likes me best. God likes me better than you. No. God's grace and love are poured out to all of his children, each and every one. And what stretches us in this particular passage is that God's grace and love are poured out to people that we think do not deserve it. And sometimes we see God's grace at work and God's love at work, and we say, that's not fair. And we forget that God has provided already for us. God has already poured grace into our lives and never stops doing that very thing. Yet it's easy to forget about that. Because sometimes, as Janet Jackson used to sing, anybody remember Janet Jackson, Michael's sister? What have you done for me lately? That doesn't sound like her, but that's kind of similar. I mean, if you listen to her song, actually, you'll think, man, Pastor Neil sounds exactly like Janet Jackson. It's amazing singing. And she sang that, what have you done for me lately? And that's sometimes what we think about with God. What have you done for me lately? You know, whenever we were singing that hymn this morning, God will take care of you. All you may need, He will provide. God will take care of you. Nothing you ask will be denied. God will take care of you. Sometimes we only say the second one, and we forget it's about what we actually need versus just simply asking God for anything. Yeah, since I'm God's favorite, He's going to give it to me, right? Since I've been acting especially holy, He's going to take care of me. Since I went to church this week, yeah, I can count on it. God, you owe me. No. God's grace has already been washing over you, pouring over you. And the reality of it is that God's grace is pouring over all of us. Now, we pray that truth, that God's grace is for all of God's creatures and people. We pray it each and every Sunday. And you know when we pray it? The Lord's Prayer. And especially whenever we talk about food. Food. Oh, just think about it right now. I want to see whose stomachs I can make growl just talking about food. And thinking, when is he going to wrap this up? I want to get there early before that other church. Think about your favorite food. Last night, I had a wonderful dinner, and there was bread, and it had garlic on it and butter. And then I dipped the bread into more garlic and butter. And later that night, I was reminded of dipping the bread into more garlic and butter. And Judy says that I'm like some sort of odd, weird channel of garlic. Whenever I eat it, it just comes out of my pores all over and infects everybody around me. So I was thinking about that, but it was really good at that time whenever I first had it. And man, whenever we're first taking that in, and we even, it's so good, we don't care, it just drips right down our chin. If you're with good friends, you take your tie and go ahead and boil that later for soup. You don't really mind about those things. But when we think about food, we think about the Lord's Prayer, and we think about God's providence or providing and grace, what do we pray? Give us this day our daily bread. We don't say, give me this day my daily bread. In other words, we are the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. We're in this together. When we say we're brothers and sisters, that means we're related. We're kin. And as God loves us, we are called to love one another. Even when we don't feel particularly lovable, or it's really a challenge to love that person that God puts in front of us. What are the things that we know? What are the things that we truly know about God's grace and how God works in our lives. These are things that we can hold on to as great truths, the following things. God loves us and all of creation deeply and profoundly. Amen? I and all others are made in the image of God. Amen? God's generosity is beyond my wildest imagination. Amen? There is nothing I can do to earn or deserve God's generosity. Amen? Those are all truths. Those are all realities. And whenever we understand those and when we live into those truths, then it's a lot easier to understand that we're in a whole different kind of kingdom. Not a kingdom that's defined by what we think is right or wrong, but by a kingdom that is defined by God's grace and justice in the world. You know, in this scripture passage, in the one verse, am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? This is the landowner. In verse 15, or are you envious because I am generous? Another way to interpret that is to say, is your eye evil? In other words, are you giving me the evil eye? You ever get the evil eye? And then whenever you combine it with this, oh, Lordy, Lordy! That is something else. With this and the evil eye, man, you might as well not even try to work with that person, huh? Stick a fork in it. It's done. For us, may we be much more open to those truths that I mentioned earlier, that God has created us, continues to be at work in us, and God's grace is truly for all people, not just the people that we think or find are worthy. May we look to see Jesus in one another. And may we also be open, most of all, to being channels of God's love. Join with me in prayer. We thank you, loving God, that your grace is for all people. And sometimes we are certainly challenged and stretched. And sometimes we think things aren't fair. But we forget that you continue to be at work. You never finished with us. You never finished with other people. You're never finished being at work. Your grace is unending. And so that is hope. That even when we think something is unfair, you're still at work. And if we simply are open to your grace, we can see it. And we can be greeted by your love. Thank you for that love that is the greatest force and power in all of creation. Thank you for being at work in all of your children's lives. And thank you, Lord, for helping us to be humble in our service, not arms crossed, but arms open to your grace and to one another. In all things, we pray in the name of our risen Savior and our namesake, Jesus Christ. Amen.